Well, good evening. Welcome to Austin Bible Church. Good to have you here tonight for Scripture Memory. And always good to see the kids tonight. Are you ready with some verses? No. Well, we'll get you ready. How's that sound? Getting ready for next week. Okay, we've got a package here going on Bible promises. And so there'll be a total of 10 verses in this section over 5 weeks. And there will be prizes for any child or adult that can do all 10 of these verses at the conclusion of the month of September. So there is a goal. There's a motivation for you. And they're good prizes, too. I got them back in my office in here. And we gave out some already in an earlier module. And we'll have more to distribute when we complete here in September. And then we'll have to have the extra prizes for Irma and for Christopher and for anyone else that's going to run the table and do all 38 verses, I think, by the time it's done. And if you were here last week, Christopher ran through 32 of them. And got a couple more for tonight. And then we have two more. This is the 11th. We have two more. We have the 18th and the 25th, the last two sessions in Scripture Memory for Families. Well, let's start with a word of prayer. Ask the Father to bless our time together. Let this be a time of blessing and fellowship. And then we'll get right to it. Shall we pray? Most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight, for the truth of your word and the privilege we have to assemble together to review verses, Father, to memorize verses, to hide these verses in our hearts. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. All right, we have Bible promises. And from a couple weeks ago, we have the Bible promise of answered prayer in Matthew 18:29. It has to do with you get a couple of buddies and they agree on something. Is that jogging any memories? Making you think? Matthew 18:19. Is anyone prepared to recite that for us tonight? Or shall we recite it together as we read on the screen? Okay. Got an amen on that one. Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth about anything that they may ask, it shall be done for them by my Father who is in heaven. Matthew 18:19. Now, again, I would urge you, this verse is not the only verse that we have in the Bible related to prayer. You cannot take this verse in isolation of every other verse. This doesn't mean that two people can conspire together and ask the Father to win the lottery tomorrow night. All right? Because this verse does not sit by itself in the New Testament as it relates to prayer. You have to ask according to the will of God. You have to ask believing, not wishfully thinking, but believing, claiming by faith a promise of what God has revealed in His Word. Other aspects, praying according to the will of God, praying, what's the warning in James? That you have not because you ask not. You have not because you ask, but you ask with the wrong motivations. You ask on a selfish basis that you may spend such things on your pleasures. So we do have a wonderful promise on answered prayer. I will say, having now expounded upon a couple of things that the verse doesn't say, what does this verse say, though? Why is it important for two or three to pray together? Why can't you just pray by yourself? There actually is a value to having the like-mindedness that comes about through corporate prayer, through collective prayer, through praying in groups, praying with brothers and sisters in Christ, praying with your family, praying with your church family. There is actually a value to that, all right? And you have the opportunity to testify to like-mindedness. I tell you, when you're sitting over here on a Sunday morning or a Wednesday night in the prayer group, it is just powerful when you're waiting for your turn to pray and the person next to you offers the very identical prayer you were just about to say. That's great when that happens. It shows you the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace on that. All right, so we have that prayer. There's another Bible promise that relates to being burdened, that we can do something if we are burdened. Did you learn that verse at all from Matthew 11:28? Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and what will he do? I will give you rest. I will give you rest. I love this. I love the fact that it doesn't hold it against us. It's like, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all generously and without reproach. It never once, if you go to him because you're weary and heavy laden, never once is he going to cut you down for it. Is he going to say, come on, you wimp, you ought to be able to handle that? Never once. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, I will give you rest. That is his promise. We got to claim that promise. Our third promise, this is from from 2 weeks ago, that we recited last week from John 14:27. It has to do with Christ's peace. We have a promise of Scripture related to Christ's peace. Peace I leave with you. Is there anyone that wants to recite this one for us tonight? Did any of the children work on this one? Or we can read it together. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. Nor let it be fearful. Okay? And keep in mind, you parents, if you've got smaller kids, chop that verse in half. That's a pretty long verse. So chop it down. Just take the first half of it. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. And if that they're old enough to reach the second part of that, not as the world gives, do I give to you. That right there is an awesome memory verse right there that these kids can take in and memorize it. And if they can do the whole thing, do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful, even better. Death is not the end. Death is not the end. 1 Corinthians 6:14. Let's read this one together. Now God has not only raised the Lord, but will also raise us up through His power. Will also raise us up through His power. See, death is not the end. Now, who's the us in that? Believers, church-age believers. Okay? Understand that. If you're talking to an unbeliever, he can't claim that as an us. Okay? He can't claim any of these promises. Realize this is a privilege to be learning these verses, to claiming these promises. If God is for us, who can be against us? Okay? Think of any verse that you have stored away. That's your treasure. That's your blessing because you're His child. An unbeliever can't claim that. An unbeliever does not have the precious promises, the yes and amen that we have. And maybe sometimes we've been saved so long we forget that. All right, now there were two that we gave you last week. And here they are, Jeremiah 32:40 and Psalm 103 and verse 12. We have a Bible promise related to the everlasting covenant. And we went ahead and remember we spoke about this last week, that this is a good verse to memorize, a good verse to learn. But what did we learn as well related to the new covenant, related to who does God make the new covenant with in Jeremiah 31? He makes it with Israel, the house of Israel and the house of Judah. His new covenant is with Israel. And yet we can understand what our relationship is to God. It is eternal. It is guaranteed by His promises. So I don't have any issues with memorizing this verse. Jeremiah 32:40, I will make an everlasting covenant with them that I will not turn away from them to do them good. And I will put the fear of me in their hearts so that they will not turn away from me. I love that verse. Primarily because 85% of professing Christianity today is replacement theology. Right? Roman Catholicism denies that Israel has a future. Reformed theology denies that Israel has a future. Orthodox theology, the Orthodox world, we're talking Greek Orthodox, Russian Orthodox, the whole Orthodox part of the planet denies that Israel has a future. They're all caught up in the replacement of Israel with the church. Basically, you have evangelical Protestantism, that dispensational evangelical Protestantism, that rightly divides the word of truth and identifies that God has a future for Israel and God cannot be a liar. That those are eternal promises. And if they're eternal promises, they must still be valid. And so memorizing a verse like Jeremiah 32:40 is going to be very fruitful. That assures us that God will not turn away from Israel. That ought to shape our thinking as it relates to the Jewish people. Finally then, forgiveness. Psalm 103:12. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. As far as the east is from the west, so far He has removed our transgressions from us. Did anybody learn that last week? See, we get different families here from week to week. And so we had different families here last week, and some are here this week. And some worked on it, some didn't. But Psalm 103:12. How far is east from west? That's forever. That's an infinite. You can continue traveling east and keep going east and keep going east. And you can never run out of east. Even when you lap the planet, you can still keep going east. And so you can just keep doing laps around the earth and still keep going east. Likewise, you can do laps around the earth and still keep heading west. Okay? And I don't know why you want to do such a thing. But the point is, you can. We saw a commercial last night about all the water bottles in the United States. And in 1 year, America uses so many water bottles, plastic water bottles, that you can stretch them end to end around the earth 18 times. Why would you want to stretch water bottles around the earth? I don't know, but that's what they say. It was just an environmental littering thing. You know, we have too many water bottles, too much plastic. All right. So far as the east is from the west, so far he has removed our transgressions from us. In other words, it's an infinite distance. Since you can never reach the totality of that length, then you can never go back and occupy the same space that your sin is, because he has removed it. It is an infinite distance from us and will never again be reckoned to our account. And that's awesome. Now, can the unbeliever claim that? No. They're still dead in their sins, aren't they? But for believers, for you and I, because we place our faith in Christ, our sins are paid for. They're removed. Not simply covered or atoned, but removed. All right. So does that one sound easy? Kiddos that are here tonight, do you think you can memorize that one? You could recite that one? As far as the east is from the west, so far he has removed our transgressions from us. That's a good one. That's an outstanding one. All right, we're going to have two more for next week. Let's get next week's verses down. Let's write them down. Let's read them together. Week 19. 1/19/1 is God's presence. And the scripture comes from Joshua 1:9. God's presence, Joshua 1:9. Joshua 1:9, and this is, let me add the heading, insert heading, God's presence. Now on this, by the way, what Bible do you guys use? Lewis, yeah. New American Standard, New King James. Do you have a Bible translation, your Old King James? ESV, Holman, okay. NIV, okay. Old one, all right, got it. Not 84, that's a good one. How about you? Same? Okay. All right. I got most of those up there on the screen. I got New American Standard, New King James, the old NIV, the 1984 NIV, and the Holman Christian Standard Bible. If I need to add ESV or one of the other ones, I can do that too. All right. God's presence, Joshua 1:9. Here's what you're going to memorize for next week. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Now, is that too long a chunk for some of the younger ones who want to chop it in half? Since it's God's presence, I would recommend the second half. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. That would be an awesome snippet for the youngest of children. If you're old enough to do the entire verse, then do the entire verse. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Be strong and courageous. And I love this. I love the way that this applies wherever you are in life. I mean, do we minimize a fourth grader and their need to be strong and courageous? No. The fourth grader absolutely has to be strong and courageous. In the scope of what the fourth grader has to deal with in their life, you bet the fourth grader's got to be strong and courageous. But so too does the housewife have to be strong and courageous. Because look who she's married to. All right? So too does the husband have to be strong and courageous. Because look what his responsibilities are. All right? The pastor has to be strong and courageous. Every believer has to be strong and courageous. So I love the fact that this is a verse that every believer, even the youngest of children, can identify with, because they're going to have to face fears in school, on the playground, or in the context of what the testing they're facing with. So that's an outstanding verse. That's our first one for next week. Be strong and courageous. Have I not commanded you? I love that. You are exactly where God wants you to be. He put you there. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. All right. Our second verse, after we get that one down, that's God's presence from Joshua 1:9. Heart and spirit. Heart and spirit. And that verse comes from Ezekiel 36:26. Ezekiel 36:26. Heart and spirit. Moreover, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. There's a Bible promise. Now, we claim this on an individual, personal basis as it relates to our salvation. That's a secondary application for this. We recognize this is in Ezekiel as it relates to a national promise for the Jewish people in the restoration of the millennial kingdom. The fact that the most stiff-necked, rebellious people in the history of the Old Testament is going to be faithful in the millennium, to me, is a testimony to what kind of miracles our God does. Right? Can you imagine? We're going to have a 1,000-year span in human history, and Israel will be faithful for the entirety of that time. Not just at the beginning and also at the end, but every day in between, Israel will be the faithful nation for those 1,000 years. That's an amazing thing to consider. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. Now, we relate that to ourselves, of course, because why? Because we have other passages, other New Testament passages specifically that relate to our experience in salvation, what the Father does as we're regenerated, as we're born again, and the work that He does in us on an individual basis related to our salvation. So that's a good reason to go ahead and continue using these as Bible verses. Any questions on that? You understand why we can take a verse related to Israel and go ahead and adapt it to our own memory and our own application and our own use? All right. Otherwise, there are some people who would rather just rip out the whole Old Testament and act like it's not there and never read it and feel like, well, we're in the church now, all we need is the New Testament. Oh, it's a bad approach. It's a very bad approach. All right. Well, good. Those are two good verses. We've got some other neat ones coming up, by the way, including Psalm 32:8. We were in Psalm 32 this morning. That's coming up. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you and watch over you. You want some counseling? Get under the Word of God. I will counsel you and watch over you. And then the promise related to Jesus' resurrection in Mark 9:31. Promises relating to the knowledge of God in 2 Peter 1:3. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. Everything. Now, you either believe that or you call God a liar to His face. But His Word says that His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. And then finally, the last promise we'll look at in week 21, life from the Spirit. The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you are spirit and they are life. So we got some outstanding verses related to, it's actually 12 verses. Week 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, that's 6 verses, or 6 weeks, 12 verses. And again, like I said, I've got prizes for any of the children or any of the adults that will stand before us and cite all 12 top to bottom. Any questions on those? You got your verses down for next week? Okay, and we'll make sure we get the website updated as well, so that'll show up on the website. I'll read our chapter for the night. It's a short one, as I recall. It's a chapter on translations. In the last 40 years, there's been an average of just about one new English translation of the Bible per year. The many translations present something of a problem, but not one that is insurmountable. The Bible is absolutely trustworthy. It is not our intention to condemn any translation. Probably all of the translators began their work with a sincere desire to make the Scriptures more understandable. And the day that he wrote that, I would agree with the statement, but in today's day and age, I would actually dispute that statement. There are other motivations at work in some of the translations that have come out in just the last 10 years, including gender-neutral language, including other postmodern philosophies that are creeping into Bible translations. Some have succeeded more than others. Those with certain biases seek to promote their beliefs in their translations wherever possible. We must recognize that no translation of the Holy Scriptures is perfect. There are small mistakes, ambiguities, and imperfections even in the very best translations, for the work of the translators is not inspired. Furthermore, the English language, like any other modern language, changes as time progresses. Revisions become necessary. And if you doubt that, you know, just consider the different uses of language from generation to generation. And I used expressions as a teenager. My parents didn't have a clue what I was talking about. And now I got teenagers and they use expressions that I struggle with. And so as language changes and as other things force, that's why The Holman is actually a very worthwhile project. I'm thankful that the publishers have put forth The Holman translation. In this one chapter, we essentially want to consider certain principles involved in Bible translation and how those principles affect the choices of translation for memorization. All right. And basically, what he's going to spend a few pages doing here is validating the fact that God chose the Hebrew text for the Old Testament. He chose the Greek text for the New Testament. And so the better ones for memorization, in his opinion, and I share that opinion, would be those that are more literal translations that work hard to try to communicate exactly the words and the thoughts expressed in the Greek and the Hebrew text. The more modern, like the Message or the Living Bible, or some of the more loose goose paraphrases, they may not be. It's still the Word of God. It's still going to have power in it. But the further you depart from the Hebrew and Greek text, the more that you open yourself up to an ambiguity. And why would you want to memorize an ambiguity? Okay. And so that's what he's going to spend over the course of these verses. He makes a tremendous application as it relates to God-breathed. All Scripture is God-breathed. Theo Pneustos, God-breathed, meaning it comes from His very breath. It comes from His very choice of words. It's not just that He imbued the authors with super smarts and they wrote down an awesome book. He actually breathed the words that He wanted. He used those authors. He used their background, their vocabulary, their writing style, and personalities. But nevertheless, the words that ended up on paper were the very words, the very letters, the very jots and tittles that He wanted. And so we have no fears related to anything in the Bible. And that's why as we make efforts to memorize His Bible, that we would do well to have the closest literal translations we can. This is a fundamental doctrine. It is known as the verbal plenary inspiration of Scriptures. It means that the Holy Spirit guided in the exact choices of the words used in the original writings, and that this inspiration extends to every portion of the Bible. It's plenary, it's full, it's complete, it's without exception. It comes from the Latin plenus, meaning full. And so when He uses agape, it's because He wanted to use agape. When He uses philos, it's because He wanted to use philos. He doesn't confuse the terms in what He wanted to use, down to the very jots and tittles. Not only are the words inspired, but the portions of the words are also inspired. All right, so in light of that, the different translations. This, by the way, I think this chapter here is worth the price of the book. It gives you a nifty little summary of going from Wycliffe to Tyndale to Miles Coverdale to the Thomas Matthew translation to the Geneva Bible to the Bishop's Bible. And then, do you know what they did with the Bishop's Bible and the Geneva Bible? The Bishop's Bible is the Catholic Bible used by the Anglican Church in England. The Geneva Bible is the Reformation Bible. The Geneva was the capital of Calvin's empire there. So you got the Geneva Bible, you got the Bishop's Bible. And Protestants were using the Geneva Bible. And Catholics and Anglicans were using the Bishop's Bible. So they decided, you know what, let's just make everybody happy. Let's blend these into a great big compromise Bible. And that's how we got the King James. The King James 1611 is a compromise Bible between the Bishop's Bible and the Geneva Bible. All right? It was designed to make Protestants and Catholics happy. Now let me ask you something. What is your experience in compromises to please everybody? Do they work? Oftentimes what happens is just the opposite happens, right? They end up pleasing neither in a lot of ways. So there's a 5-minute class in the origin of the King James Bible. This does go on to recommend paraphrases versus thought by thought versus word for word versus literal. And and that brings us to the end of the chapter and the end of the book. Let me just show you, as it relates to the five that I have on the screen here, the New American Standard is the most literal, which means it's the most wooden, which means there are going to be places where it's going to be a little bit awkward in its readability. The Holman addresses that. The Holman continues a literal philosophy for translation, but identifies where the wooden renderings become awkward and works to make it readable at that point and at that point only, without violating the absolute literal translation from the Greek and the Hebrew. And so I'm coming to appreciate it more and more. The Holman also does us some favors related to as modern English readers, because Greek is very fond of stringing pronouns out for ever. Okay? It'll stretch he. Okay? And by the time you've gotten to your 14th he, you're still, because it's crossed back and forth between the Father and the Son and the Father and the Son and back to the Father again. And you're left kind of wondering, now, wait a minute, who is this here now? Okay. Well, the Holman actually identifies that. Says that's very common in the New Testament, very common to Paul, very common to some Greek writings. And they actually will put nouns in there rather than pronouns, just so the ambiguity is cleared up. And so the text might be a pronoun, he, but the Holman will go ahead and put Jesus in there, or put the Father in there, and identify it. And that, I think, it's an interesting approach. No other translation does that. In a sense, you're taking a bit of a liberty. You're taking a bit of a you know, you're taking a stand on what your conclusion is for that pronoun. But you're assigning a name to that pronoun, and it's remarkable. I think they've done an excellent job. I've not yet found a case where I've disputed their pronoun with the noun that they selected. All right, so we have that. Any questions on that? Of course, I say memorize what you've used the most. Memorize what you're most familiar with, what you use daily, what you use, what you study from. I have taught more than 4,000 Bible classes with the New American Standard Bible, so I am not going to change to the Holman. I mean, even if I read it recreationally, if I read it devotionally, if I bring it to a picnic or what have you, I may reference it occasionally, but it will not become my primary text for pulpit teaching, just because, let's face it, after 4,000 Bible classes, some of these, you know, it's just locked in there, and that's the way we are. We're creatures of habit, and you build that, and you ingrain it in your mind, and that's the way it's going to be. Something about old dogs, new tricks, kind of a thing. I don't know. All right. Now, I know we got a little bit of the wiggles and the antsy tonight. Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm. The verses we're looking for are in weeks 16 through 21. There are the 12 verses that are in this section called Bible Promises. So it started with week 16, where our two verses were Matthew 18, 19 and Matthew 11, 28. In week, and these are on the website too, by the way. In week 17, we had John 14, 27 and 1 Corinthians 6, 14. I should be reading these snippets too, shouldn't I? As it relates to answered prayer, burdened people, Christ's peace, death is not the end. Week 18 is everlasting covenant from Jeremiah 32, 40. And forgiveness from Psalm 103, verse 12. Were those ones you were missing, or do you need more? Okay. Yeah, take it from the website. I'll show you how to get to that. You bring up AustinBibleChurch.com. And right here in the middle where you have Scripture Memory at the 6 o'clock hour, you select Scripture Memory. And you have all the information here, how to fill out a card, the daily routine, how to review. Also, all the audio files are right there in reverse order. And then all the verses we've gone through, going back to the very first 3 weeks. Six keys, God's plan of salvation, six I ams of Jesus, the Holy Spirit, that was weeks 11 through 15, and then Bible Promises, weeks 16 through 21. Now, as of this moment, 16, 17, 18, and 19 are on there. How did 19 get on there? We just gave that out tonight. Did you do that while we were talking? Outstanding. This is live update on the... Wow, okay. Recording desk is on the ball tonight. From Joshua 1:9 and Ezekiel 36:26. Let's go ahead before tonight's over. Let's go ahead and put 20 and 21 on there as well. So they'll all be on there for the entirety of the program. Weeks 20 and 21 as well. That'll get us through the end of the month. That'll get us through the end of the module. All right. So again, it's AustinBibleChurch.com, and you just click on the Scripture Memory link right there in the middle of the Sunday schedule, 6 p.m. hour Scripture Memory, right there. Easy to get to, easy to find. Now, let's just throw it open. Are there, on a volunteer basis, is there a Bible verse that any child would like to recite at this time? Any child, any verse. All right, now I'm seeing some hands. All right, let's start with Lily. Now, Lily, you need to stand up so we can hear you. And should we get the microphone going? Or just go without the microphone? The microphone's actually helpful. Here we go. Why don't you come on up here? This will work. You guys missed it last week. Christopher did this last week. And his grandmother was very thankful because she had the opportunity to listen on the website. All right, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Okay. The verse is Romans 5:5. This hope does not disappoint because God's love has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us.
That's it. Excellent. Romans 5:5. That's outstanding. Hope does not disappoint. All right, Andres, come forward, please. Hope does not disappoint. The love of God has been poured forth in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who is given to us. What verse do you have for us tonight?
I'm going to
face them, please. Okay.
I'm going to say Matthew 17:28. Come to me, all you weary and...
Weary and heavy laden?
And heavy laden, and I shall give you rest. Matthew 17:28.
Excellent. That's it. Thank you. Good job. All right. Other verses. Any child, any verse. Zoe has to have a verse. You have no verses. You've never in your life have you learned a Bible verse. You got to recite one so Grandma can listen to you when she's in Seattle. Oh, this is terrible. Don't you hate being the pastor's kid? All right, Ave, come up here, Ave. That's awesome. Oh, man. Come on, Ave. You're going to embarrass Zoe. Come on up here. All right, sweetie. Here you go. You're going to have to come up two steps so people can see you. There you go. Okay, can you hold that? And what verse are you going to say? You have a verse you're going to say? Okay, what is it? Go ahead. You got to talk in here, though, so they can hear you. John 3:16. For God so loved. You got that? Who did God love? Oh, no, this is pressure. Yeah, just pretend they're not sitting there, okay? You don't even see them. You're just talking to your mom right now. For God so loved. Can you say that?
For God so loved the world.
He gave. What did he give? Okay. That's okay. Are you just nervous?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you. Thank you, thank you. All right. Good try. I wouldn't have done that at your age. That's awesome. All right. Andres, you got another one? Does Rafa have one? Oh, he just wants to stand there with the microphone.
How about you help me hold it? Got it?
Can you hold it for him? Okay, go ahead. What's your verse?
John 3:14. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life.
All right.
Hello.
Okay. Thank you. All right, Zoe, last call. Any verse you like. What's your Awana verse for this week? You've got Awana verses for this week, right? You said them last week. Come on up here. Recite for Grandma. Yep. Right now? This is just a little bit like child abuse. I should get away with it. All right. Here, go ahead and face down.
Mm-hmm. John 14:6. Just as Father has loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love.
That's actually from 1 John.
Oh, 1 John.
Okay. There you go. Thank you. All right, now it's the adult's turn. Now let's, we'll embarrass everybody to do this. Now, I appreciate it, children. Thank you so much. This is important. We want to have some fun with it, but we also want to reinforce how serious this is. That this is our privilege. This is our blessing. That we don't have to memorize Bible verses. We get to memorize Bible verses. And in particular, in our wealthy culture, where we have 10 and 20 Bibles each, considering there's people in other parts of the world that are sharing a single Bible, a part of a Bible, and they're passing pages around and taking turns memorizing pages because that's all they have available to them. I think the accountability hits us pretty heavy. To whom much is given, shall much be required. And God has given us an amazing amount of wealth, resources available in His Scripture. And things we take for granted, too. We got 5 or 6 Christian bookstores in town, right? And I can go 7 days a week to a place, and I can pick up a commentary. I can pick up a Bible dictionary. I can purchase a devotional. I can do all that. And you realize how amazing it is, because that's not available in most places around the world. You go to Russia, you go to Ukraine, you go to the Philippines, you go to all these places. And are these things available? You know, are they in their language? Most of these Filipino pastors learn English so they can read Bible commentaries. And they're studying English so they can study the Bible, they can study Bible commentaries, they can study things about the Bible. Good luck going to find a Strong's Concordance written in Filipino. Okay? And same thing with the Ukrainians and so forth. And a lot of these pastors we work with and we train, English is not their first language. But they're working hard to study and they're working hard to feed their flocks. And that's, again, something else that we take for granted. Doug was pointing out his iPhone. I mean, we got so much on Libronics and so much that's available to us. It's unbelievable. All right. Well, this is good for tonight. Let me close in prayer, and then we will have 2 more sessions in our scripture memory. I would like, though, like I said, there's prizes available for those that can recite all 12 verses. I think it'd also be worthwhile to do a recitation at the 11 o'clock hour on a Sunday morning where we have more of the membership, more of the church body that's assembled. So, Andres, there's a goal for you. All right. Christopher, Zoe, there's a goal for you. All right, Lily, opportunity to recite, not just on a Sunday night, but a Sunday morning. Sunday morning, good opportunity. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for your truth. Thank you for your faithfulness. Help us, Father, as we learn these verses, help us to hide them in our heart. Help us to live that which we learn. We thank you, Father, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. All right, we are on break. PMW starts at 7:30.